continue our study in the book of Joshua. Because Achan and his family sinned by disobeying God's clear command and took of the accursed or the devoted thing, Israel was sent running by the army of Ai. City of Ai only had 12,000 total residents. It was a humiliating defeat, and it demoralized Israel as it should have. They disobeyed what God said to do. I know it was just Achan and his family, but the whole nation suffered as a result. But God revealed to Joshua that Israel had sinned. Achan's family was singled out. The sin was dealt with quite severely, I might add. So here in chapter 8, God again promises victory to his people. This will conclude number one, if you're keeping an outline, Roman numeral one, the central campaign. It began in chapter 6 in verse number 1. It will carry us through this chapter, chapter 8, and verse 35. We've already seen A, victory through faith, Jericho, chapter 6. And then B, defeat through sin, Ai, that's chapter 7. And now C, we're going to look at restoration, chapter 8. Underneath that, number 1, restored courage, the conquest of Ai. Restored courage, the conquest of Ai. Verses 1 through 29. So let's have a couple of you read. Let's just read through. Let's start by reading through verse 13. So if somebody takes 6 and somebody takes 7, that'll take care of that. 1 through 6, volunteer. Kathy, you want to read that? 1 through 6, and then Gary. 7 through 13, okay?
I'm doing this for George because he's not here.
It's very thoughtful. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it.
Joshua, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and its king as thou didst unto Jericho and its king. And only the spoil of it and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city. Even behind the city, go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for all they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them.
Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it unto your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord. So shall you do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait in the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley.
All right, thank you both. All right, the central campaign, restoration, restored courage, conquest of Ai. If you notice in verse number 1, we find several things just in that first verse. First of all, in the very beginning, the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." We could call that a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. Our answer to discouragement and fear is in hearing and believing the word of God. God made a promise. God said he would deliver Ai to them, and they believed. As long as we obey the commands of our Lord, we have the privilege of claiming his promises as well. And there are many promises that apply to us in the word of God that we can claim for our very own. Not only is there in this first verse a word of encouragement, but also a word of instruction, which includes a second verse as well. God always has a plan. The problem was the first time when they went into Ai, they went with a lot of self-confidence, didn't they? I don't need to really, there's only 12,000 up there, don't need to send many up there. And of course, obviously the defeat was because rather than trusting in the Lord, they trusted in their own might, trusted in their own strength. And of course, what happened with the Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold that Achan buried in the tent. He said, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof. See if Achan had just been a little patient. The spoil thereof, the cattle thereof, shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So the word of instruction. If we obey what God says, we will see victory. And then number 3, the word of promise. Again, when God promises something, we can claim it by faith, and it will come to pass. All right, so God had turned his anger and now sought to restore their courage. So we saw the word of encouragement, the word of instruction. In the first attack, Joshua followed the advice of the spies and only used part of the army. God said to take all the people there here in verse number 1 of chapter 8. Made it very clear. Don't mess around. Take everybody. All the soldiers. God told Joshua to take advantage of the self-confidence of the people of Ai. Obviously, they were all puffed up. They caused Israel to run, the armies of Joshua, to take off. Well, God would use Israel's sin against Ai, it would be turned on them. They could take the spoils, but they had to burn the city. They had to burn the city to the ground. And again, if Achan had only just waited just a little while. Oh, you know, it's just as bad to get ahead of God as it is to lag behind. You ever been ahead of God? You know, running ahead rather than waiting. Oh, absolutely.
What he got from
Jericho. And that's another point. We often settle for much less than what God has planned for us because of our impatience, because of our lack of faith, because of our self-confidence. We take matters in our own hands, and it never works out well. Never works out well. The Lord said, "I have given the land." Joshua's guarantee of victory, as long as he obeyed. I have given it. It's done. But the promise had to be claimed by faith. Remember, Israel had acted presumptuously in the first attack and lost the promises of God. And that's the difference between faith and presumption. Truly believing God or presuming things that we can't presume because of disobedience. We are also, of course, God's soldiers. And so it's important for us soldiers to spend time in the Word of God. The Word of God and prayer are the only offensive weapons we have. In the armor of God, We have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So unless we daily take the sword of the Spirit by faith, we're going to be going into battle unprepared and not ready, unarmed. Only spiritually minded believers are victorious because God's Word is allowed to saturate our hearts and minds. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God uses the Word of God in battle. So we're going to win battles spiritually. We're not going to do it apart from the Word of God, are we? We desperately need the Word of God. Restored courage, the conquest of Ai, first two verses. Then number two, tested courage, a new plan. And what a plan it was. The measure of courage in us is found through tests. God will test us, won't he? In order for us to get the benefit of the test and understand that it is a test from God, we've got to seek the Lord and his will for each undertaking that we involve ourselves in, no matter what it is. The strategy for taking Ai was the opposite of what happened at Jericho. But God had a very specific plan. It went like this. At night, Joshua and the 30,000 soldiers marched 15 miles from Gilgal to Ai and set up an ambush behind the city from the west. We read that in verses 3 through 9. I'm not going to read over them again. And then 5,000 more men were put between Ai and Bethel, because Bethel was only 3 miles west of Ai. So there's a good chance that the armies of Bethel may get involved. God, of course, knew this. So God told Joshua, you need to have 5,000 more men between Ai and Bethel to keep Bethel out of it. And they would have, of course, attacked from the northwest. The army would also fight the Aiites, or the Aiites, would fight them in the field, according to verse number 22. Then Joshua took the rest of the army to make a frontal attack on Ai, and it would look much like the first time to the people, to the army, and the king of Ai. And so, again, they were filled with self-confidence. Oh, my, look, they're coming. They're going to try it again. This is going to be great. Man, we'll get them this time. And sure enough, we find courage in battle. Verses 14 through 24, Joshua led the rest of the army, made a frontal attack on Ai from the north. His men would flee as they did before. And then the self-confident men of Ai would chase them. And then the soldiers who laid in wait in ambush could burn the city at Joshua's command. And the people of Ai would be caught between the two armies. And then the third army would deal with the possible resistance from Bethel. All right, so let's have two of you, if you would. We got 14 through 24. And we'll see how it's laid out in the Word of God, as I just described. So that would be 10 verses, 5 each, 14, 15, 16, 18, 14 through 18, and then 19 through 24. Bill, you want to take the first chunk? Mm-hmm. Betty, you want to take the second chunk? Are you in the mood? You look like you're in the mood. All right, go ahead, guys.
Now, it happened when the king of Ai saw that the men of the city heard and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was no man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city.
And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city, and took it, and hasted, and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai, they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword.
All right. Thank you both. All right. So the entire city, all the inhabitants were slain except the king. And he'd be slain. He's going to be slain just in a little bit, okay? So the plan went exactly as God said it would. And the city was burnt to the ground. Of course, they took the spoils that God had said they could take. And the soldiers in ambush did as Joshua commanded. Evidently, the sign was, some translations call it a javelin. But he would raise his sword. Remember when Joshua and the armies under Moses' leadership attacked the Amalekites? And as long as Moses' arms were up, they won. They were winning in battle. And Moses' arms started getting tired. He had his rod or staff up. And they finally propped a couple of rocks there. I think it was Aaron and Hur. And Joshua prevailed in battle. Well, that signified a closeness to God and the dependence upon the Lord to win the battle, reminding Israel and the armies of Israel that, hey, it's not by the might of men. It's God. It's God's spirit and God's power. Same here. Joshua gave that sign showing again, this is the Lord's battle. And he's going to win it. So that was when he put the javelin up or the sword, whatever it was. Everything kicked off and went exactly as God said. Got something you want to say, Bill? You look like you have a thought. No thought? Not yet? Okay. All right. So that leads us to the end of the last little chunk, beginning with verse number 25 going through 35, and I got a chunk of verses missing. I start with verse 30, but let's go ahead and read, beginning with, you read through 24, right? Bet Miss Betty. All right. Do we have two more that want to read? I know Becca will read. Anybody else want to read? All right, Becca, read, I'll tell you what, go ahead and do the rest. Start with 25 and read through 35, okay?
Okay. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree, and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them.
All right, thank you. I love the wording of the old King James, you know. Verse 28, Joshua burnt Ai and made it in heap. And then my favorite I just lost it. I had it. And I lost it. Here, oh, here we go. Verse number 29, the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down. Where else but the KJV where you get that kind of, I don't know. All right, number three is renewed consecration, a new surrender, verses 30 through 35. The other verses that Becca read were more explanatory verses about the battle itself. But verse number 30, Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And if you haven't already, write down next to that verse, if you would, Deuteronomy 27, 4 and 5, because these should sound familiar to you. You had the Mount of Blessing, and you had the Mount of Cursing. Now, it's interesting that the Mount of Cursing was Ebal, and that's where this monument was built. And I think it was built on a Mount of Cursing because only a sacrifice of blood can save sinners from the curse of the law, Galatians chapter 3. And it symbolized that fact that without God, there is no salvation, there is no hope, there is no forgiveness, there is no victory. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, verse 31, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, totally natural. No man's tools were put to these stones to beautify them or to show that man had anything to do with it. Just basically, just as God created them, they were stacked up and made into a monument for the glory of God. They offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. I think it also shows that man-made religion, you had they, you know, carved it into something or used tools on it to make it into some image or whatever, that would be man's religion. This is God doing the work. Man has no part other than responding in faith. That's the only response. All of salvation, all victories come because of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. We don't deserve anything, do we? It's all the Lord. So when Israel was still encamped at Moab on the east side of the Jordan, Moses gave as one of his last commands to set up an altar at Ebal when Israel crossed over Jordan. And Joshua did not delay. He was faithful and obedient as a servant of God. He listened. Joshua was a great man of God. He took all from Gilgal to Ebal, probably along the Jordan plains, and then westward from Adam to Shechem, which formed sort of a natural amphitheater. Being in a valley, two spectator mounts stood on both sides, Ebal to the north, elevation of over 3,000 feet, Gerizim to the south, almost 2,900 feet above sea level. Gilgal to Ebal, about 30 miles north. And two mounts were chosen to teach Israel the dual lesson of cursing and blessing. You obey God, you get blessed. You don't obey God, you get cursed. They were located dead center in the land, representing the whole land. Verse 31 talks about burnt offerings. The burnt offerings were known also as the sweet savor offering, where the victim was burned totally. You can see that in Leviticus chapter 1 if you're interested in checking that out. We, of course, in the New Testament, are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We know that Christ himself abandoned his own will to do the will of the Father. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. When he fell on his face, sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if possible, Father, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, as he again abandoned himself to do the Father's will regarding redemption. Also were included were peace offerings, sometimes called fellowship offerings. These were voluntary offerings of thanksgiving, along with that sweet savor offering. A portion of these were given to the offerer. They got a chunk of meat. And the priest, of course, got a share of the meat as well. The offerer then could eat it joyfully before the presence of the Lord, acknowledging the goodness and the blessing and the sustenance that God so graciously provided. And they also would testify by doing this that they were in fellowship with God Almighty. There's no sweeter fellowship to be in fellowship with God. And of course, what did sin do? Sin caused us to be the enemies of God. If God had not taken the initiative and offered his son as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, we would still be alienated from God. We'd still be the enemies of God. But instead, God did the work of reconciliation. And now the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as we enter the promised land, you know, really the Christian life, we are in Canaan. We still have battles, don't we? We have the promise of heaven. But this isn't heaven, is it? Nor is it hell. You know, some people say, well, I believe hell is on earth. You know, this is hell. No, no, no. This is a picnic compared to what hell would be like. But we are not yet in heaven. We are in this special place of blessing. We obey God, we're blessed, aren't we? But we still have trials, we have difficulties, we have sickness to deal with, we have problems to deal with, we have heartache, and sometimes people let us down. You probably haven't, you've probably never had anybody let you down, but I've had a few that have let me down over the years. And then, of course, the law of Moses. Now, we're talking about the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. Joshua read them. All of it. All of it. Now, I don't know how long it would take to read Genesis through Deuteronomy, but not only were the men present, but the women were present. Not only the women were present, but the little kids were present. And they sat and had to listen to the word of God being read. And according to what I read, I don't read anything about any of them not surviving it. But this is not the only time that this happened in the history of Israel. where the word of God was read. Remember Nehemiah's day? Remember what happened? The walls were completed, the word of God was read, and they stood the whole time in Nehemiah. Doesn't say they stood here, I don't think, does it? So all Israel, their elders, the officers, their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the foreigners, the strangers, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, that to the south, half of them over against Mount Ebal, that's to the north, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. You mean all of it? Well, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not. Before all the congregation, everybody, women, little ones, strangers that were conversant, or they that walked with them. The people were to shout, Amen, after each sentence was read. What do you think of that? There's a whole lot of amens. Joshua didn't have to ask for an amen. They voluntarily, after each sentence, said amen. Whether it was blessing or curse. Deuteronomy 27, 14 through 26. So the law, of course, was written on stones. Externally, of course, you could read the law that was written, instructing the people. But now, of course, where's the law written now? On our hearts. Because what God is concerned about is not only that we get saved, but he wants that relationship. He wants that fellowship with us. We're going to talk a little bit about this more next hour. The external is good. It's good for us to get in the Word of God. It's good for us to read it. It's good for us to understand it. But it's equally, maybe more so important that we meditate upon it, that we internalize it, that we let the Word of God work within us, that we ponder the deeper meanings of the truth of Scripture, that we let it impact us. The more time we spend, the more we meditate, the more that we ponder the meaning, like Mary did when she pondered all those things in her heart when the birth of the Savior was told to her that it was coming, that she was great with child of the Holy Spirit. The law, of course, convicts sinners, and it brings them to Christ. Galatians 3, the Word of God saves and makes them like Christ, but it's not just the reading of the Scripture. Got to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that convinces us that we're sinners, convinces us of the truth of the Word of God, convinces us that Jesus is who he claims to be, convinces us of coming judgment if we reject the message of hope contained in the gospel of Christ. So we need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And then we understand what salvation is. And Joshua read the Word of God. We read in verses 32 and 33 of the external part. He wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses. He wrote it all out on stones, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. How long do you think that took? It took a little while, didn't it? And all Israel was there. Questions or comments? That's chapter 8. Yes, sir.
Joshua never consulted the Lord before they went up against him the first time.
Right. And I brought that out last week. Were you here last week? Of course you were here. Yeah, I brought that out, but that's okay.
But the next one we're going to go see now is the Gibeonites. He also did not consult the Lord about these people.
What, it, the second battle?
No, the
Gibeonites. Oh.
The second battle, the Lord told him, said, you're going to do this, and here's how you're going to do it.
Yeah, he laid it out very.
Yeah, he's pretty detailed.
Yeah. Couldn't take any credit for any of it, could he? God gave him every itty-bitty little nugget. Yes, sir. Gary, you had something?
Yes. When the Lord told Joshua to go destroy Ai and burn it, he didn't say save anyone that was in there, destroy everybody. So we got now, to the present day, we got Hamas attacks Israel and they killed 1,200, I think. But they were like barbarians. I mean, cutting people's heads off. And,
And
now we got colleges, students demonstrating in favor of Hamas. Well, they have.
You know why? For 30 or 40 plus years, these colleges and universities, the vast majority of them have been indoctrinating these kids to hate America, to blame America for the ills of the world. I mean, there are a large number of flat-out communist professors in these universities. I mean, it's epidemic. And this has been their plan all along. They've been very patient through all this. And that's not hearsay or conspiracy theory stuff. This has been going on for decades.
Most of our colleges and universities do not teach knowledge anymore. They teach political philosophy.
A lot of it. And what makes it even more horrible is the fact that now we have a president disobeying the clear mandate of the Supreme Court and are forgiving student loans for a lot of these. Many of the ones that have their loans forgiven are wealthy and have these ridiculous, studies in ancient whatever. I mean, some sort of, or studies in, what's the term? The wokeism. I mean, different ridiculous degrees that never would be used. You know, women's studies of the 1800 or whatever. I mean, just stuff that really has no real lasting benefit. Nothing wrong with studying women in the 1800s, but I'm talking about making a what's a career in that. And that's not a good example. I got better, but they're not coming in my pea brain.
One course that I read, it's transgender studies, what makes you transgender. Another one is why people should not interact with each other. That's where the CRT thing comes in. And other such nonsense, absolute nonsense.
It's insanity. And the only way to explain it is the devil. I mean, evil. So many of the things that are happening in our nation are just flat out evil. There's no other way to describe it. And it's only going to get worse as we head toward that one world government, which is the goal of the elitist ultimately, is that we have just a handful of elites that control everything. All right, let's look at the prayer list together. Pray for the church. As I mentioned, we've got George is sick this morning. Mary and Leonard have colds. They're out this morning. Fred and Anna Dale, and it looks like Sherry and Michael are one of the granddaughters of Fred and Anna Dale is doing a Christmas play today, so they're out. Of course, Judy rides with Marion Leonard, so she's not here. So pray for the church. Pray for God to bless us in 2024. We can see some growth. We had kind of a blah year. This year was just kind of blah, spiritually just blah. We need, now the Southern Baptists say we need revitalization. The Word of God says we need revival. I think I'll go with revival. What do you think? Pray for our nation. I watched in the last few, I guess about the last week, watched too many videos of things that are disturbing. I shouldn't have done that. I found out some things I didn't know that I didn't, I actually needed to know, but man, I don't want to know things that are going on behind the scenes. Pray for Israel. Pray for victory for them, for Ukraine. I heard our dear Senate leader say that if we don't give the $60 billion to Ukraine, then Russia's going to win the war. But if we give the $60 billion, Ukraine is going to win. There's no way that Ukraine can beat Russia. Do you have any idea how powerful Russia is? Especially since we stopped drilling and they're selling more oil than ever, and they've replenished their coffers. And how big Russia is. You know how massive that nation is? And little Ukraine, because we give them some bombs, are going to beat Russia? No, it's not going to happen. And I don't know if you knew this, but they early on were going to sit down at the table and try to work out some kind of deal. And the United States had a big part in stopping it because the elitists love war. Many of them get rich from war. Did you know that? Yeah. And, you know, it's all about money and power. Power's the big thing. Money's next. Ask our corrupt president. He might tell you that.
The Soviet, Russia, the former Soviet Union, but now Russia, literally, the sun never sets on the land that they occupy. That used to be the claim of the British Empire. Now it's Russia.
Wow. That's deep.
From
that's deep.
The edges of Moscow to Kamchatka Peninsula, the sun never sets on there.
Really? Wow. I didn't know that. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for our missionaries. Hope House, of course, is our newest addition. Mark and his health situation. Missy Nixon. Barbara Mason. Continue to pray for Mason as well. For Brody. Jeff has hip replacement December the 19th. Vicky's having her headaches. A little better, but not cured by any means. Pray for Ross McNiffin in the hospital in Winchester, neighbor of Leonard and Mary. Treaty Alamang. Is it Alamang or Alamang? It's supposed to be O. Okay. Hey, that's okay. Alamang had a toe amputated. This is a niece of Miss Betty. Toe amputated. Pray that bone infection has not spread and will not spread any further. I already mentioned Mary and Leonard and George. What? Is she really? Now, is that your sister's? Okay. And she lives in Winchester?
No, she lives right across the road.
Oh, okay. Okay. In the old homestead? Okay. Gotcha. All right, let's stand together for prayer. Father, we pray that you touch the bodies of those that are sick today that can't be with us. We ask for healing. We pray, Father, for our church. We pray for growth. We pray for salvation of souls, that you touch hearts and bring folk in. We pray, Lord, that we'd have some in 2024 that would come to know you. And, of course, we have to invite them. We have to tell them about Jesus. We pray for additions in this coming year, that this year, if you tarry your coming, allow us to live, that we would see many that would give themselves to you, Lord, and truly believe in Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. We pray for our missionaries. You continue to bless them, continue to use them, Lord, those that are preaching the truth of the gospel. We pray, Father, for those that are facing surgeries, those that have doctor's appointments and tests, that, Lord, you would give the doctors wisdom in all of this. We pray, Lord, for Israel, that you give them a great victory, that these armies like Hamas and Hezbollah, and of course they're funded by Iran, that they would all suffer a massive defeat, and Israel would rise victorious. We pray that you would stop this ridiculous conflict between Ukraine and Russia, as the land, the nation of Ukraine is all but destroyed. Many thousands, like a half a million at least, have been killed. Many of the men have been killed in Ukraine, and now they're going and enlisting, bringing other older men into the battle. So Lord, please stop that war. We pray, Father, you bless the coming hour as we again assemble. We ask, Father, that you'd increase our faith, that you'd draw that lost sinner to the Savior. And we pray most of all that our Savior would be lifted up, that he would be glorified in all that's said and done. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 10 minutes, we'll get started, okay?